Now for my next guest. We're going to travel back in time to the late 1980s, when the perfect sunny life of Simone Birbeck comes crashing down around her.
I want you both to know that nothing is going to change.
But Dad's dead.
Well, that has changed.
There's no money left.
My children and I have nowhere to go.
Well, welcome to Australia. Hard enough for you?
You said we were going to stay in Sydney.
Newcastle is sort of like the northern suburb of Sydney.
That's a snippet of the ABC's new dark comedy drama, Frayed, that tells the story of Simone Birbeck. Australian comedian Sarah Kendall is the series writer and the star. Sarah, welcome to RN Drive.
Hi. Hey, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. So you play Simone Birbeck, or is that Sammy? Tell me about this character. Who is she, and why did she change her name?
She's a compulsive liar. So the story starts in southwest London. She's fabulously wealthy, and in the opening scene, she finds out that her husband has passed in a fairly unsavory fashion. And not only has he passed away, but it turns out they're broke. They've got no money. And she's pretty much homeless. She ends up going back to her hometown, which happens to be Newcastle, Australia, which nobody knew that about her. Nobody knew that she was even Australian because she's just been lying to everybody for 20 years. So it's not the greatest homecoming for her. And she moves back to her old family home with her kids.
And you're an Aussie living in the UK. Did your own experience of living in London inspire the story? How did it come about?
Well, I mean, I grew up in Newcastle. So I lived in Newcastle for 18 years. And then I've lived in London for 19 years. And they were just two worlds that I felt very very familiar with, very comfortable writing about. And I just wanted to kind of bring those worlds together and make them collide. And it just felt like a great sort of fictional landscape. So, yeah, I sort of came up with this idea of this character who had just, it just couldn't help herself. She's just one of these people who lying is her default mode. And she just gets rumbled repeatedly as she's forced back into her old hometown.
The pathology of a compulsive liar is actually quite fascinating.
It is.
What drew you to this personality type? Personal experience?
There's a little bit. I mean, there's always a little bit that you sort of gain from your own life. But I find characters like that very funny. And it's a really fun character to write because she's such a desperado. And I think when you're writing something, you want your characters to have those really strong desire lines. You want to know what they're going to do in scenes and what's going to be the sort of engine driving them. And that for me is a very strong comedic engine.
So this series is all about the lives we create for ourselves. Tell me about the life Simone creates in London and how important it is for her to come to Australia. I mean, why is that so pivotal? What are you exploring there?
Well, it's, you know, and that's something that sort of develops over the series is you kind of, after a while, you do sort of go, well, what exactly was she running from? And it is a comedy drama. And, you know, the reason why she ran away 20 years ago, there were some pretty good reasons there. And that, again, as a writer, it was very important for me to have this character who, you know, she is pretty outrageous and she does some terrible things. But there is quite a sincere engine driving her, you know, that propulsion. And over the course of the series, you know, there is this kind of, hang on, what's gone on here? What has she been running from? Why is she so obsessed with reinventing herself? And you get to the bottom of that throughout the series.
We all have a lot of nostalgia. Well, some people may not, and they'll start texting in telling me I'm not nostalgic, but many of us do, particularly for yesteryear, and I reckon particularly for the 80s.
Yeah.
What are you trying to convey about life in Australia in the late 80s?
I mean, from a plotting perspective, writing something before the internet is a joy. It's so much easier because plot with the existence of the internet and mobile phones and messaging each other, it complicates plot in a way that is, it's maddening. Like somebody quite rightly pointed out that every episode of The Famous Five is made impossible by the mobile phone. You know, and if you can get information to people quickly and easily through text messages, that kind of narrows your plot possibilities. And I loved setting it in the 80s because this person is a liar and she hasn't got a digital footprint. You know, if I'd set this story now, all you'd have to do is look online. You'd just have to look at the person's Facebook page. Not only that, you wouldn't fall out of contact for 20 years with all these people. You know, you'd FaceTime each other. You'd have some sort of contact. Whereas, you know, writing in something that's set in the 1980s, when people went to the other side of the world, that was goodbye. You know, that was a definitive, you know, not I'll text you from the airport or I'll FaceTime you when I arrive. You know, I think the world felt a lot bigger back then.
You said that you approach life and every scene as if it's like someone cracking up laughing at a funeral. Tell me about that fun tension of what is, well, you know, funerals, they're meant to be sad, but yeah, there are those moments. What are you trying to capture there?
And this is just my own taste with comedy. I really like comedies that can quite confidently shift gears. You know, I like there to be a, you know, strong emotional heartbeat to it. And I love gags. I mean, I've been a stand-up comedian for 20 years, so the joke writing thing is very important. But, you know, I do feel that with comedies, all my favourite comedies are those comedies that turn on a dime very comfortably between the dramatic and the comedic. Life doesn't work in genre. Life is all genres happening at once. So
yeah, life is an explosion of genres in
exactly,
1 hour, really.
Exactly. That for me is really big with how I approach writing. You know, you don't go into a scene. None of us walk around going, well, this is going to be a comedic conversation. You know, very sad things and very happy things often happen parallel at the same time, bashing up against each other. So, you know, hopefully my writing can reflect what my experience of life is.
It seems to be the case, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is some momentum behind more and more women writing and starring in comedies.
Yes.
More of them are being commissioned too. What's going on? Is it just finally everyone's woken up and gone, hey, ladies are kind of funny?
Yeah, that is actually it. And that sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but it's like 30 seconds ago, everybody went, oh, this is a glaring omission. And then not only did they commission loads more females, it turns out that they were really funny. And it made money. And then they went, oh, actually, this works. There's actually no reason for us to have shut down all those women for all those years with writing and comedy. And it's just, I can't get over the difference. You know, I mean, as I say, I've been working as a stand-up comedian for 20 years. And the difference that has taken place in, I'd say, the past 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, it's massive. The shift is just so huge, and the interest in female voices and more diverse, but not just female, you know, just diversity in general. The idea that there is space and people want to hear it. And not only that, it's successful. It makes money. It's not like an act of charity, you know, like, oh, well, we commissioned it and, you know, it was the shirt off our back.
Better watch these women.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's making really good money. And that's language that, you know, I think people tend to understand in this business.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's Sarah Kendall. She's an Australian comedian and the writer and star of the new ABC comedy series, Frayed. And this is RN Drive.